Chapter 6, The Pursuit of a Kingdom Woman's Faith.
One time I was battling a cold and couldn't shake it. I called my doctor and told him my symptoms, and he told me I didn't need to come in. He was going to call in a prescription for me. He told me what medicine he was prescribing and how to take it. Now, a number of things went into motion. First, I had to believe that I was talking to the person I thought I had called because I couldn't see him. It was just a conversation over the phone. So I had to listen to his voice. I listened. I could have stayed in bed and meditated. I could have believed him but stayed in bed thinking about how good it was that I had a doctor who understood my problem and provided me with a solution. I could have lain there thinking how great it was that I had a solution. But all that lying around and thinking about the doctor's words wouldn't have made me better. It might have given me a warm fuzzy because he personally talked to me, but I'd still have been just as sick as I was when I first called him. I had to get up, get in my car, drive to Walgreens and ask the pharmacist, "Do you have a prescription with my name on it?" While there are many kinds of medicine in the pharmacy, I needed something with my name on it. The doctor had told me it was there, and I acted on his word. Beyond that, I could have just received the medicine and looked at it. I could have made sure that it looked acceptable to me, but I'd still have been just as sick. By following the doctor's instruction, my belief was matching up with my works, and I began to feel much better. A lot of us have spiritual colds, yet we come to God to hear what the doctor has to prescribe only to have nothing change. This is because many of us stop there. We think about how good it was to hear from him or to talk to him. Some of us turn to the Word of God and feel good about how wonderful the prescription sounds and all the things that it's supposed to do. But we stay just as sick because we don't ingest the medicine God gives us. The pursuit of faith involves much more than simply seeking God and His Word. While those are definitely a part of it, true pursuit involves responding in such a way that our actions follow His instructions. Only when faith comes full circle will the full benefit be manifested in our lives. Full faith is an all-out, no-holds-barred approach to a life punctuated by actions of belief. I realize that things happen that make it more of a challenge to live with actions that demonstrate faith. Perhaps you weren't raised in an environment where people around you taught you what a life of faith looked like. Perhaps your life revealed disappointments early on, or maybe you were hurt in some way and are a little gun-shy about taking chances. Maybe you think you have too much to lose by stepping out in the direction that you sense God is leading you. Whatever it is, people have different reasons why they shrink back from trusting and relying on God. Scripture tells us of a woman who had challenges, but she was able to overcome those because of her faith. She didn't allow anything to stand in the way of doing what she needed to do. In the King James Version, this woman's primary problem was an issue of blood. A woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind Jesus and touched the border of his garment, and immediately the issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Bleeding in particular is a difficult issue to deal with because the loss of blood means the loss of life, zest, energy, and strength, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. I'm sure you've heard the phrase bleeding out, meaning that a person has lost so much blood that he or she dies. The body needs blood in order to live. Blood is an important part of life. Whenever you go to the doctor because you are not doing well, often he or she will take a blood test. A doctor can discover a lot by looking at and examining your blood, because within your blood is the essence of life itself. This woman was hemorrhaging. Her life had been ebbing away from her for 12 very long years. Yet not only was her physical life ebbing away because of this issue, undoubtedly making her weak and putting her organs in pain as they lacked the necessary oxygen to function properly, but her finances were being hit as well. Some of you reading these words right now know what it is like to have ongoing doctor bills because a health issue continues to go unfixed for a prolonged period of time. As the doctors try this, that, and the other, the bills continue to tax and strain your finances. Yet not only did this woman suffer from a physical and a financial problem, she also suffered from a spiritual problem. We know this because she was a Jewish woman living under the Old Testament law. If a woman has an issue of blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it runs beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. To be considered unclean in Israelite culture carried with it multiple ramifications. For one, she could not be touched. This meant that her physical problems had bled into a social problem because she was forced to live apart from the touch or warmth of humanity. Most likely, she couldn't go out and take part in marketplace activities, since any other woman who might accidentally touch her could be considered unclean as well. She also couldn't attend any religious ceremonies. She probably also had prescribed a number of tonics to cure her hemorrhage, and those may have come with some side effects of their own. Most likely, this woman lived a lonely, isolated, and painful existence. She definitely had issues. Before we dive deeper into her story, though, I want to pause to ask if you can relate to this woman. Perhaps not on the entire scale of her story, but has something impacted you physically, socially, financially, spiritually, or whatever, whenever you try to fix the problem. It just doesn't work. You spend your money on medical help, psychological help, vitamins, herbs, and the latest cure-alls. Regardless of all that, you are left with an empty purse and a heavy heart as you quietly carry your burden. If that describes you in any way, aching, hurting, discouraged, despondent, disappointed, and it doesn't seem like anyone can help, in fact, what help you do get tends to make things even worse, I want to ask you to learn from this woman. After 12 years, there is no doubt that her situation appeared unfixable from a human point of view. In fact, it's even doubtful that she felt like anyone ever cared anymore. If things were going to get better, something beyond her and beyond everyone and everything else had to happen. She needed a supernatural touch. The faithful woman needed a supernatural healing. So she made her way to a position where she could get just that. As we saw earlier in Luke 8, she made her way through the crowds and came up behind Jesus to touch his cloak. Matthew 9:20 says she specifically reached for the hem of Christ's garment. Why is that important? Because to go low enough to touch the hem, she needed to humble herself. She needed to relinquish all forms of pride, self-preservation, and human wisdom. She had to humble herself to open herself to being impacted by God's word, God's viewpoint on her issue. She had to lean not on her own understanding, but lean down to get God's understanding. She had to stop looking at her situation through her own perspective and start looking for God's solution. She believed that if she could just get hold of that hem attached to Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Word of God, she would be healed. We know she was a woman of great faith. She said to herself, "If only I touch his cloak, I will be healed." A kingdom woman is a woman who knows and believes that her solution is not found in money, human reasoning, or other people. Her solution is found in humbling herself before Jesus Christ and surrendering to the Word of God. Many times, God will let you try everything you think you need to try to fix your own issues. He will let you spend all of your money, waste all of your time, and simply become worn out and weary. He allows this because often it isn't until someone has come to the end of herself and her own options that she looks to the only true option for lasting healing, God. The important thing to note in this kingdom woman story is that she understood the power of connecting Jesus Christ with the Word of God. See, if you have the written word, yet no living word, you have truth without life. If you have the living word at the exclusion of the written word, you have life without the full revelation of truth. But when you have the living word while grabbing hold of the written word, you have life and truth. In pursuing that combination in faith, the woman was healed immediately.
Crystal's Chronicles.
Pine Cove in Tyler, Texas is a Christian camp that our family has attended every year for as long as I can remember. My dad is often a featured speaker at Pine Cove, so when he is, the rest of us tag along for a nice family vacation. A few years ago, however, our vacation took a scary turn. One afternoon, the kids had finished their activities and it was time for them to settle in for a nap. Our week together was coming to a close, and the women in our family decided to take a trip into town to shop while our little ones slept. We left them in the cabin with their granddad, whom they affectionately call Poppy. I remember that we left around 2:30 in the afternoon. As I backed out of the driveway, I also remember seeing my oldest son, Jesse, watching me through the window in the room where he was supposed to be lying down. Around 4 o'clock p.m., I got a call from my dad saying that the front door to the cabin was open and that 3-year-old Jesse wasn't in the house. My dad had checked everywhere and couldn't find my son anywhere. At that moment, my heartbeat went into overdrive and my lungs tightened. I could hardly take in air. If you have ever thought for a second that your child was lost, had disappeared, or might be in danger, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. I prayed the only words I could muster at the moment. Lord Jesus, please help. I told myself that I needed to keep calm, trust in God, and do whatever I needed to do to find my son. We gathered the girls from our various locations in the shopping center and immediately rushed back to the camp to help out with the frantic search for my baby boy. We were 20 minutes away from the camp. Those 20 minutes crept insanely slow. I wanted the phone to ring, and I wanted my dad to be on the other end of the line telling me that he found Jesse in another room or outside playing in the dirt. Instead, I got a call from him to tell me that camp personnel had been assembled to begin a search in the woods and around the lake that sits in the center of the campground. In those moments, I must admit, my faith was not working. I tried. I wanted to believe, but a million images flashed through my mind, and the stories of other families that I'd watched play out on television came to my thoughts. Those long minutes were probably the most intense I have ever faced. My heart was tearing apart on the inside. While we were still en route, and even before the search began, a phone call came from the police station. A police officer had found Jesse. He was safe, happy, and ready to come home. From what we can piece together, Jesse must have run out of the room and out of the front door in an attempt to catch us as we left for our shopping trip. My dad had been in his room with his door open so he could listen for the kids, but with the commotion of all of us women leaving the cabin, he hadn't heard anything unusual when my son went out the door as well. Sometime after Jesse left the cabin, the police picked him up from some people who'd found him wandering alone. Jesse had walked out of the cabin, off the campground, and onto the main road, a 2-lane rural road on which vehicles typically travel between 50 and 60 miles an hour. He left the cabin wearing only a diaper, no socks, and no shirt. A car passed by him, and he ran out into the road behind the car. It could have been that the car resembled our car. I'm not sure. Whatever the case, Jesse began pursuing the car on the road. The driver in the car saw in his rearview mirror the small diaper-clad child running to catch him. He pulled over immediately. This unnamed driver picked him up and took him to the nearest house on the road. From there, the residents called the police, and the quest began to find out whose 3-year-old, unclothed kid this was. Before the police even arrived, a member of the Pine Cove staff heading to town noticed the commotion and stopped to find out what was going on. The staff member knew that the speaker for Pine Cove was my dad and that he had probably brought the whole family with him. The staff person suggested that my son might belong to the Evans family. When the police arrived, they brought Jesse back to the camp and tracked us down. By the time I arrived on the grounds, Jesse was dressed, playing with a stuffed animal the police officer had given him and enjoying all the attention. I ran to Jesse, picked him up in my arms. I hoped I didn't hurt him because I was squeezing him so hard. The first words out of my baby's mouth were, "Mommy, I found you." The police told us that Jesse had been happy. However, the officers also said that they could tell he had been crying at one point because there were dried tears on his face. But from the time he had chased after the car on the road and the family had picked him up, he'd been smiling and laughing. Later that evening, I asked Jesse why had he left the house. And he said without hesitation, "I was looking for you, Mommy." My young son had been looking for me. He had been pursuing me. He had seen me head off in another direction in a crowd of aunties and relatives, and he had to do everything he could to find me. This eventually led him to a road where his 3-year-old legs chased after a car. Had Jesse realized that he couldn't find me and that he was alone somewhere, he might have just stood by himself and cried. He might have just sat down and given up. Yet because he kept pursuing, he kept looking for anything that resembled what he was searching for. He chased down a car, the driver stopped, and Jesse eventually found me. I'm convinced that Jesus Christ was right there with little Jesse, encouraging him to keep looking, keep pursuing, even though he had wandered out into a frightening and dangerous scenario. Because he did not quit pursuing what he believed he would find, he found what he was looking for. "Mommy, I found you." Those words still bring tears to my eyes and clog up my throat with gratitude for a child who kept looking and for a God who stayed right there with him the entire way. I don't know what you're looking for. I don't know the object of your deepest desires. You may know exactly what you want, or you may simply be struggling with a hole that you don't know how to fill. Either way, there is one thing that I know for certain. Pursuing God is worth it. Be determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. When asked about the most important thing a person should do, Jesus responded, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind and with all your strength." Mark 12:30. To chase after God, to want more of Him above all else, is where the journey of faith begins. When we show by our actions that we believe He is good, and we illustrate by our activity that we believe God can deliver to us more than we could ever acquire on our own without Him, that is the beginning of the journey of faith.
All little Jesse knew when he saw his mom pull out of the driveway was that he wanted to find her. In this tiny 3-year-old mind, he decided to pursue her the only way he knew how, on his tiny feet. Although the situation in real time was probably the most frightening moment of my life, the purity of the illustration of passionately pursuing the one you love, in Jesse's case, his mom, Crystal, is such a great reminder to each of us about how we are to want nothing more than to be in Christ's presence. How we are to willingly leave the security of our comfort zone and step out in faith to pursue the path that will take us the closest to Jesus. It was no small step for the woman who suffered from hemorrhaging to move through a crowd that normally would reject her and scorn her as an untouchable outcast. She courageously pursued Christ, even though it took her out of the comfort of obscurity. And because she did, she found Him along with her miracle. One of the most intriguing elements of the story of this woman is how Jesus was able to tell, apart from all the others who was touching Him, when this particular woman touched His clothes. He could feel His power being used to heal her. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Keeping in mind that there is one fundamental difference between the woman touching Jesus and everyone else who was pressing against Him and touching Him in some form or fashion, I want to again point out this difference because it is a spiritual principle that, when applied, will open up the gateway of heaven's power in your life as a kingdom woman. The woman who touched the hem of Christ's garment lowered herself. Probably she knelt. She had humbled herself to pursue the very object of her faith, the Word of God. Everyone else was standing up. They were part of the crowd, content to approach Jesus at the same level and deeply unaware of their authentic need for His word. A large number of people in the crowd touched and pressed against Jesus, yet did not receive any manifestation of His power. See, you can be part of a crowd who gathers at church or even comes together to do a Bible study, but unless you recognize your true humility before the living God and you completely depend on Him and His word, you will only be in the vicinity. You will only be part of the Jesus fan club. You will go untouched. Nothing will change within you because His power will not be released to you. A kingdom woman of faith must pursue both Christ and the authority of Scripture with a heart of humility. It is only when you nail down to reach for the hem, when you humble yourself under His divine authority based on His divine word, that you will get the power you need to live out the fullness of your destiny. You can get a touch from Jesus right now if you are willing to go low enough, if you're willing to ignore the stares of the people, if you're willing to press on through your pain, if you humble yourself to grab hold of His word, His power is yours. As a pastor of a fairly large congregation, I see a certain pattern play out too often. I see individuals who long to be healed, to be set free, and to serve God. Yet they won't relinquish their control, their self-dependence, and preservation. They won't let go and go low. As a result, they remain in the vicinity without the power they need to live a victorious life. Faith coupled with humility is the secret to every kingdom woman's success. As one theologian wrote, "Pride must die in you, or nothing of heaven can live in you." Because the woman who struggled for 12 years with a major health issue chose the path of greatest humility before God, she received the greatest gift of power and healing. In fact, kneeling down to touch the blue cords tied to the hem of Jesus' garment wasn't the end of her practice of humility. Following the transfer of healing power to the woman, Jesus asked who touched him. He wasn't asking because he didn't know. He was asking because he wanted the woman to do one more brave act of humble faith. He wanted her to go public. He knew she had been healed. She knew she had been healed. In fact, Mark 5:29 says she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. He wanted her to share with the others what had happened as a result of her great humility and faith. He wanted her to step out of the comfort zone of the isolated life she had known for so long and publicly declare what he had done. Jesus knew that this action would not come naturally to a woman who was used to being overlooked and ignored. He knew that speaking up about what had happened would be uncomfortable for her, but he wanted her to do it. Even in doing it once in his presence, she would learn the courage to do it again and again. This woman of great faith and humility also needed to discover great courage, and Jesus was right there to help her. When she heard him asking specifically for her, then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. She trembled. She wasn't used to being noticed in large crowds. She wasn't used to being a part of a conversation in the public's eye. But she came forward and told Jesus she had noticed his clothing. Jesus' response was personal. She was not a stranger to him at all. In fact, he called her the endearing term in the culture of daughter. He rewarded both her pursuit and her courage with more than healing. He rewarded it with peace, saying, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Somehow, between getting physically healed and having the courage to testify about it, she had established a relationship with her Savior. She had gone from who to daughter. She had become a recipient of peace within the family of God. Not everyone gets peace in this life. Many people have what would be considered the blessing of good health, money, clothes, or a nice house. Yet God can bless you with a house and you still may not have a home. God can bless you with physical healing, but you still may be in mental anguish. God can bless you with things that your physical five senses can enjoy, but you still may not have a relationship with him. Jesus wants to do more for you. He doesn't mind giving you stuff. He doesn't mind your body working properly. And he wants you to be well. But more than that, he wants you to be his daughter. He wants you to have the courage to pursue him publicly in order to enter into an intimate relationship with him. The kingdom woman pursues Christ in private and in public. That's when you get to see him show up in a way you cannot explain. That's when you get to experience a closeness you have never known. Pursuing Jesus while you grab hold of his word releases power to you. Things that you have been struggling with for years may be resolved in a moment when you pursue Christ humbly, publicly, and holistically.